Alrighty, how you guys doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, we'll take that. Anyway, great to see you guys. We get to start off with an exciting note. It rhymes with, we're going to sing happy birthday to Ron Waxer and turned 39 yesterday, apparently. Yeah. 22. Wow, he's going backwards. That's great. I wish I could do that. But on the count three, you know what to do, Las Vegas style. Happy birthday, Ron. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Right there, USC. Happy birthday to you. His name is Ron. Happy birthday, dear Ron. Happy birthday to you. That's right.
Exciting stuff happening, including, that's right, the Holy Trinity Medical Practice right next door. Next to our expansion facility, what do? You call 702-849-9092, not only for some faithful medicine to help you. We're not here to jab you, stab you, or kill you. We actually want to help you. What a concept. But also open for telehealth in the state of Nevada. Also, again, just launched new therapy, red light therapy, for all kinds of benefits, including increased energy, wound healing, repairing your muscles, improved hair growth, brain health, memory, pain from inflammation of all different kinds, lots of skin issues, stretch marks, wrinkles, fine lines, scars, acne, age spots, facial texture, psoriasis, rosacea, eczema, and you name it. In fact, we had yet another person come from Lake Las Vegas. This was their third treatment. And they shared a new one that we didn't even have on our list. They said, amongst other things, in just two treatments, it was the first time that they had a good night's sleep in 3 years. They had been using medication just to get to sleep, and it took two treatments, and they're just, anyway, it just sells itself. This, again, is the vision of the medical facility. We're here to help you. You don't need to get a chemical for everything. Right, that has 18 different side effects that creates even worse problems. There actually is technology that's out there that can help you get the job done. This is one of the first things across the bow that we're offering over there. 702-849-9092. Again, if that looks familiar, that's the card that's out there in the foyer for you as a reminder, also to give away to let other people know that we have a Christian medical practice right next door. October 8th through the 20th, Lord willing, 2024. If you want to go on a trip of a lifetime, here you go. Here is your opportunity. Not only with myself, but also with Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Mondo Gonzalez from Prophecy Watchers, Ken Michael from Jan Markell Ministries, and Pastor Tom Hughes, Hope for Our Times. All five of us will be going, first of all, to the Churches of Revelation on location, doing some teaching there. At the first leg. The second leg of the trip, we're going to be hopping on that boat, and we're going to be going through Istanbul, Turkey, Athens, Greece, Corinth, Ephesus, etc. And so it's going to be a great opportunity. Giving you plenty of advance notice. If you want to be a part of that, scan the Mark of the Beast thing, take you to the website, or you can also go to the teaching website, getalifemedia.com, scroll down to my itinerary and click on that as well. But hey, we are glad that you're here. And if this is your first time with us, if you could do us a favor, you can fill out this exciting thing near you. It's called a Connect card. If you can fill that out, that would be great. We'd love to connect with you. After you're done filling out, you got two things you could do with it. One, you could put it in one of the two offering boxes at the back of the sanctuary there, or give it to one of the ladies in the foyer there at the Connection Center, and they will mug you in Christian love with some sort of edible food product, which, again, as always, we think of everything. We're a very proactive, forward-thinking church. If for some reason you get sick with whatever that edible food product is, but I know you won't because I think Leanne's the one that makes them, so it's going to be delicious and yummy. But just in case you have some strange reaction, we got a Christian medical practice next door with EpiPens and all kinds of weird stuff. But anyway, that's right. Anyway, but you could do that. That would be great. But we also have some special guest stars from Tennessee who are here. Where are you guys at, Tennessee people? Hey, back there. Thank you guys for joining us for studies and with that as well. But we also have some of our other online family we want to highlight today. We want to highlight Patty in Michigan, the land of the state bird of mosquitoes. She's up there, but she's tuned to her studies. But also, so is Patricia in Missouri. She's also over there. Now you're getting closer to tick territory. Maybe a little ticks in Arkansas. Patty in Oregon. She's over there. One of the biggest, freakiest crabs in my life ever saw was in Oregon. Just thought I'd share that with you. But anyway, that's right. Too much information. And you're like, well, where are these people at? Well, here you go. We're the Motivated Cow, but right over there and there and there. Tuning into our studies, and so you know what to do on the count of three. We're going to say a big old howdy ho to just some of our online family. That's right, Attack of the Patty Pats and Moore, for those of you hooked on acronyms, abbreviations of the state. So on the count of three, one, two, three.
Howdy ho.
This is why I love you guys. You actually do it. Right? This is fun. Nothing wrong to have a joyful attitude as a Christian. Learn what to do, what is right, and have a good time while you're doing it. But hey, we want to thank you for that. And then also want to encourage, if you know somebody who's interested and they can't find a church, welcome to the club literally around the world in the days of apostasy. But hey, if you can't find a church, consider being the church. We'll do the teaching for you via electronics. But if you're interested, this is happening all over the world. Here in the United States, around the world, we have many, many, many home churches from Sunrise popping up. But if you're interested in that, send us an email, homechurch@getalifemedia.net, and we'll get you hooked up with the instructions how to do that. Here locally or part of our online family, the fastest way to get your prayer request, prayer need, or concern to our prayer team is right there, prayer@getalifemedia.net. Shoot the email, and that goes directly to them. But hey, we're going to have an offering tonight. If you want to partake in that, you are more than welcome to do so. Again, you could just put it in one of the two offering boxes as we exit. And or if you're part of our online family, tuning in. And if you'd like to give, that's greatly appreciated as well. You can do that three different ways. Go to the appropriate website. You could click on donate or give. I guess you could do that. Or look for the mailing address. You can mail it in. Or even now, there should be a number that's appearing on your screen. That is your texting option if you want to text give. So let's pray for that. We'll pray for our study. Father, we love you and thank you so much for, most importantly, saving us through Jesus. Thank you for an incredible future that we have. Our foundation is for all eternity is built squarely on him. And as you promised, that's the only one we need to build on. And if we've done it, man, what a future we got in store. What you're building for us is beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you in the meantime that we have the privilege to grow up in you and serve you, seek you, share you, and give our time, tongues, talents, and sometimes even our treasures. So if we give tonight, may with everything that we do, may it be biblical. You tell us if we're going to give, be a cheerful giver. Don't be one that gives under compulsion, which means we got the wrong heart. We're doing it just because we have to, or we feel guilty about it, or maybe it's just some legalistic, greedy thing, and treating you like some sort of giant cosmic sugar daddy. And no, we do it because we love you, and we're cheerful about it. We're excited to be able to work together as your people, doing what you've called us to do in these last days. So if we give, we certainly ask your blessings upon it, that you'd be glorified, that we, your church here at Sunrise, would have whatever practical resources we need to keep moving forward for you, with what time we have left in these last days, and that lost souls will be won for you. Whether it's here in Las Vegas, the Henderson area, whether it's in Tennessee, whether it's in Missouri, Oregon, wherever it would be, God, that you would have us to share your truth. May lost souls be won for you. And now as we turn to your word, God, and once again, we take a look at this occult secret society called Freemasonry. And we just pray that you would open our eyes, God, to the fact that we need to not only get equipped on this issue so that we could hopefully witness to these people, but we're going to see again tonight, these people are everywhere. And they're no better off than Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or even Catholics, because it too, Freemasonry, is a false gospel leading people to hell. So help us to get equipped tonight, God, to do just that. And God, as always, if there's anybody tuning in who's involved in Freemasonry, God, please have mercy on them. Cause them to run, repent, and get right with you. And if they're not saved, to get saved now. But please bless our study even now. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, once again, we're in an exciting study. As you heard, Freemasonry, the tagline that we're finally going to run with is very appropriate, Satan's Secret Society. And that's literally what we're dealing with here. And so in our journey with that, we're seeing basically a couple different things. The first one was what I call the shot across the bow, a Christian warning. This is not just in the world, it's in the church. And many people professing to be Christians, are involved in this group. And as we saw just right across the very first study, you have no business as a Christian being involved in this. And you need to run, repent, and get right with God. This is not a joke. The second thing we saw was the history of Freemasonry. Well, how in the world did this thing get started? Where did it come from? And not only how did it get to America, but how in the world did it get into American churches? Flooded. We're going to see that in great detail again tonight. So we took a look at the history of that. Then we took a look at the beliefs just to further prove, oh, these guys are, they're not a religion, because they'll say that to your face. They're lying. Even their founder said it is a religion and it is not Christianity. And it's not. At least that one's from Albert Mackey, if you recall, one of their big leaders. At least he was honest. Okay. But it is a religion and it's a false religion and it is completely counterproductive. It is antithetical to everything that is biblical. It's a false base, false work gospel. They do not have the same source of truth. They do not have the same means of salvation. They do not have the same understanding of Jesus Christ, the Godhead, the Trinity, everything. It's completely messed up. So why in the world would you stay in this thing if you're a Christian? It just doesn't make sense. Then we took a look at the symbols of Freemasonry. Freemasonry is an occult secret society. And just like the other occults that we saw, witchcraft, Satanism, voodoo, shamanism, druidism, they codify their occult beliefs in symbols. Well, shocker, occult secret society Freemasonry does the exact same thing. But the benefit of going through that is once you see that these symbols are from Freemasonry, this occult secret society, then all of a sudden, like the other ones we went through with witchcraft and Satanism, you're going like, wait a second, these are everywhere. Yes, they are. And it tells you how prevalent this place, this thing really is. Then we took a look at the leaders, again, of Freemasonry. Okay, who's the big ones? Well, of course, Manly P. Hall. Once again, as you can see by his complexion, great advertisement. Don't you want to be a Mason? Yeah, it's very dark and deadly. Speaking of which, Eliphaz Levi, he's the one that was big on the pentagram and the Baphomet. Merging that again with Freemasonry. Albert Mackey, I just quoted him. He admitted it was a religion. It is a religion, Freemasonry. They believe through the teachings of Freemasonry and being a good person that they can make it to the Grand Lodge in the sky. This is a false gospel. And Albert Pike. Albert Pike was a Scottish Rite Masonry. Their motto was what? Order out of chaos. And they believe that in order to bring about their Luciferian world order, their version of utopia on the planet that will create a one-world government, a one-world religion under a one-world leader. What's that sound like? What the Bible is the only book on the planet that warns us about. It's the Antichrist kingdom. They said it will be created by them as they use three successful world wars. Okay? And it's tit for tat what we've experienced, including the next one, the final one they say they will use to bring about the Luciferian order is a global war that is between the Jewish community and the Muslims. Almost like somebody's been planning this thing for a long time. Well, that's exactly what's been going on. So then we took a look at the branches of Freemasonry. These guys are all over the place. There's many different branches, and they're doing their dirty deeds, seducing people young and old all over the place. So we broke that down. There's English Freemasonry, where it started. 1717 in London, the official date. Some go back a little bit further, but not much. And then, of course, it hopped the pond when the revolutionary said, hey, the British are coming, the British are coming. Well, yeah, they brought with them Freemasonry over to America. And then that went into subgroups with the Scottish Rite Freemasonry here in America, the York Rite, and also Prince Hall. That's for the Black African American communities. They wanted their version of Freemasonry. And, of course, the Shriners. The Shriners are specifically an Arabic organization. Their God is Allah and things of that nature, as we dealt with. It's not Christian whatsoever. And that's why you could see in their fez hats, it still is what? Arabic symbols, the Arabic sword, etc. This is really what's going on. Okay. But it wasn't just that. Last time we take a look, well, they keep going. The next one is women Freemasonry. They finally begin to let ladies get involved in this false gospel. And they do it for different ones. The first big one for ladies is called the Eastern Star. As you can see, that is a what? That is a pentagram that's there. And as you can see, oftentimes the OES or the Order of the Eastern Star for ladies, okay, is what? It is on headstones, as we talked before. Usually guys will have the compass and the square, and then the ladies will have the Order of the Eastern Star. That's what they were trusting in, a false gospel. So basically when you see those on headstones, those people are shouting from the grave, I'm in hell. That's really what's going on, folks. And you walk through any cemetery, they're everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It is sad. Another ladies' organization that sucks ladies into Freemasonry is the Order of the Aramanth as well. Then we get into what's called auxiliary or social Freemasonry. And this is just what I call a bunch of subgroups of Freemasonry, getting young and old alike, trying to get as many as we can in there. And we went through a whole bunch of them, including National Sojourners. National Sojourners is a branch of Freemasonry that specifically goes after the military, okay? Including, as you can see here, it's in print. They also work with the youth to try to pull them in through groups like the ROTC. And that was on tape. We saw that. They admitted it. And they're using them to try to bring them up and pull in as many young military people into Freemasonry as well. Speaking of which, there's also youth groups in Freemasonry pulling in young and old alike. And the first one that we saw there was for the boys. The boys had a group called Demolay, still to this day, named after Jacques Demolay, the grand Knights of the Knights Templar. And basically, and I quote, one of the requirements for membership is the belief in a supreme being, which could be any god you make it, and that is not Christianity. And members of DMLA include Christians, Jews, Mormons, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and others. As we saw from even my own personal experience as a pastor, some churches have this as their youth group. This is no joke, folks. Many churches get involved in this. This becomes their youth group. But that's just the boys. The girls got a couple different groups. The first one is Rainbow Girls, is what's going on there. Rainbow Girls, we also saw a girl that came out of it, also admitted that parents drop their kids off to these Rainbow Girls, and these guys do bad things to the girls. Parents don't know. They just drop them off, think they're perfectly safe. It's not good, folks. And then the other one for girls is called Job's Daughters, also known as Jobies, right? And again, it's another group to get young girls into Freemasonry. And another one we saw was the Order of the Knights of Pythagoras. That's the Prince Hall version of Freemasonry. That's their version of a youth group. Or Organization of Triangles. That's another youth group for ladies. But basically what you're seeing is they go after everybody, young and old alike, men and women, government, military, churches. They try to pitch themselves as a youth group. And then we saw it was bad enough that we're seeing that you guys are promoting a satanic Luciferian order that the Bible calls the Antichrist Kingdom, a one-world government, a one-world religion under a one-world leader. But we also saw, guess what, Freemasons also happen to be promoting? A Mark of the Beast-type tracking system that they simply call My Chip. This was on tape, and this is their website. Tracking children wherever they go. But it's okay. It's for their safety. This is Freemasonry. It's like, man, what part of the Mark of the Beast system, Antichrist system, do you not promote? Okay? And things of that nature. And then we left off on this. This is at the bottom of that My Chip page. Quote, it's a quote from who? Franklin D. Roosevelt. Wow. Huge Freemason. Right? And he said, quote, we cannot always build the future for our youth, but what? We can build our youth for the future. This is what they're doing. Everything that they're involved in, they are building the mindset for people who will go along with this Luciferian order. And it begins to explain a lot of things, right? A lot of people don't know because what? They're a secret society who meets in secret. They do secret handshakes. And if you divulge any of these secrets, remember the bloody oath? You'll slit your throat, rip out your guts and things of that nature. The only reason why we know what's going on is because people come out and spill the beans. And some are murdered for it, right? And so or people come and they get saved. And Christians, they're warning them what's going on and things of that nature. That's why we know this is what's going on. And now this leads us to, speaking of Franklin D. Roosevelt, this leads us to the famous figures of Freemasonry. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. All right, and not just in our country, but around the world, just about every kind of sector of society, these guys have put their footprint in, steering the world towards this Luciferian order. And again, you're like, okay, here you go again, Pastor Bill, this is crazy. You mean to tell me that there is a secret society called Freemasonry, secret handshakes, secret gestures, secret all this, secret meetings, and they really are working towards a secret plan to steer the planet towards a Luciferian? Yes. And again, to stress the point, even the secular media admits it. Let me give you the first example.
As he heads for the lodge, he looks no different from an ordinary businessman. It's only inside the building that the brethren put on their Freemason's dress. The apron has its origins in the Bauhütten Church Masons' lodges. It protected the stonemasons from flying chips. The top hat is an ancient symbol of freedom. The white gloves represent pure and spotless acts. Is it this seclusion that spurs the imagination and engenders conspiracy theories? But why all the secrecy if there is nothing to hide? The fact that the Freemasons are not as insignificant as they sometimes claim is evident in Washington, D.C. Is the capital of the world's leading economic and military power also the center of a secret world government, as some claim? In scarcely any other city on our planet are secret fraternities as active as they are here. Some presidents are known to have been members of several secret societies at once. Do the fraternities clandestinely determine the guidelines of American policy? Throughout the Capitol, Marion Fussell finds signs and symbols of the kind the Freemasons also used. The heart of the world superpower seems like a set-in-stone tribute to the secret society. Even today, American presidents are still sworn in on the same Freemason's Bible in which George Washington once took his oath of office. The last president to be sworn in with this Bible was George Bush Sr.
I, George Herbert Walker Bush.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
But in whose interest does the president act? Does he serve the American people or the secret fraternity?
And that's the question of the ages, which we're going to delve into that particular angle, Lord willing, next time in our big finale. But as you can see, this is not a conspiracy theory, folks. This is really going on, even in our nation's capital, and you see signs of it all over the place. But Masons really are a group of people. They meet in secret. It's a satanic society. They're working to take over the world, to bring in a Luciferian order that they think is a good thing. And that's why they meet in secret. But as the guy said, if it's so great and wonderful, why are you meeting in secret? That's your first clue that something's wrong, as we dealt with before. But that also would include the secret layout of our nation's capital. Let's take a look at that.
The basic layout of the city originally had these kind of odd diagonal streets. So they had to have some reason to lay them out that way, because the normal way you would lay out a city is by a grid pattern. And D.C. did not follow a traditional grid pattern.
It's a very cleverly worked grid shape. So when seen from above, you have a five-sided star. You have a cascading star, which is all part of the Masonic thought. There's no doubt that Washington, D.C. was laid out according to Masonic ideals and symbolism.
Some suggest that the Freemasons who were involved actually had a hidden agenda.
People became suspicious of the fraternity. It kind of supported, I believe, the fears that Freemasonry exerted some kind of power over the government or among society.
In 1826, William Morgan, a prominent Freemason in upstate New York, signed a publishing contract promising to reveal secrets of the Masonic initiations.
Traditionally, the Masonic oath has been quite blood-curdling. They were supposed to swear absolutely solemnly in front of all their brethren that they would never tell the secrets outside of the lodge, on pain of some quite hideous punishments, such as having their tongue torn out and their throat cut.
When Morgan announces he's going to tell all the secrets of Masonry, some of the guys in town decide to take their Masonic obligation much more seriously than they really should have. And they essentially throw him in a carriage right off into the woods, and Morgan shouts out the window, "Murder!" as they go off into the sunset, and he's never seen again.
Morgan's body was never found, but an investigation was conducted, and members of the local lodge were put on trial for his death.
There was a trial that was held of the Masons who had abducted him. The judge in the case was a Mason. The governor, he was a Mason. I believe the sheriff was a Mason. You had all these Masons involved with the prosecution of the crime, and lo and behold, nobody is convicted for the murder of William Morgan.
That's right. Shockers we've seen before. This is the kind of stuff that goes on, not just them, but still to this day. How many court cases we're sitting there going like, oh, that guy's done. Next thing you know, he gets off. What happened? This is the stuff that's going on, folks. They are bound by their bloody oaths, not only to the obligations of following and promoting the agenda and the teachings of Freemasonry, but by supporting each brother in the brotherhood of their craft. And that if they are in distress, you are bound above all laws of any country, of all land, that you have to rescue them, take care of them. So that's really what's going on. So this is why we're doing this, folks. We're exposing what's really going on. It's a nefarious agenda. They are just like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Catholics. They pitch themselves as a great place you know, for families. We're just here to help the community. That's all a smokescreen, right? As we've been seeing, it's a secret satanic society duping people with a false gospel, steering our planet towards a Luciferian order. And again, they're doing that with all the different branches that are out there. And then those branches have paid off. These guys are everywhere. So tonight we're going to hit the highlights. There's no way in the world I get all of them, but I want to show you a smattering of people that you might be utterly shocked who are Freemasons, but it's going to open your eyes just how deep the rabbit hole really goes. But again, as always, let's remind ourselves why nobody, let alone any Christian, should have anything to do with the foundational teachings or any teachings from Freemasonry. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to read verses 10 through 15. Paul talks clearly about, very bluntly about, there is only one foundation to build not only your life, but your whole eternal existence on. And it rhymes with Jesus Christ. And can anybody guess why it rhymes with Jesus Christ? Because it's Jesus Christ. You guys are rhyming experts tonight, praise God. That's right. And this is what he says here, very bluntly. But he also gives a warning, right? If you try to do something different than that, you're in a heap of trouble, right? But 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, here's what Paul says. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. Why? Because no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. If, that's a condition. Any man builds on this foundation, i.e. Jesus, right? He's your foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, judgment day, not judgment of salvation, judgment of works, we'll get to that in a second, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his what? Reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as what? One escaping through the flames. So what we're talking about here basically is that one of the classic passages describing not a judgment of salvation. We're not in fear of being judged and ended up somehow going to hell. That was already done, praise God, through the cross of Jesus Christ. The judgment that we're talking about here is for the believer who's built their foundation on Jesus Christ. That's why you're a Christian, because you're trusting in Jesus Christ, and that foundation alone is what did you do after you got saved, i.e. your works. You don't work your way into heaven, but God gives us gifts, and he saves us to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do, so that we have the privilege to have something to lay at his feet to say, thank you for saving me, because I love you and I am so grateful for what you've done for me. That's what we're talking about here. Paul talks about this. It's called the Bema judgment. He said in Romans 14, 12, every one of us Christians shall give an account of himself. 2 Corinthians 5 says, we shall all Christian appear at the judgment seat. The word there is Bema. That's where we get Bema judgment from. And that was a Greek term describing the Olympian Stadium. And it was a platform that people, after the race was done, the games were done, they went to the Bema and they stood there awaiting to get what their reward based on their performance, how well they did in competing in the Olympics. And people got, just like today in the Olympics, not everybody gets first prize when they get in that stand. You know, schools want to do that today, right? Everybody is an honor student. No, you're not. But they get there and you got first prize, second prize. And the same thing, you depending on how well they did and what race, they could have got a garland, a laurel wreath, an oak leaf cluster, whatever. It was just different gifts. But that's what the Bema seat was, the Bema judgment, if you will. And so basically every believer is going to be at this spiritual Bema seat judgment, and everybody's going to get a reward. That's good news, but it's going to be different for some folks. Some more than others, some more highly honored than others. Others will going to basically get there by the skin of your teeth. That's why he says you'll make it, because we don't make it by our works. It's by the cross of Christ. But all you got, you made it just as one. You just barely made it through the flame. Here's a puff of smoke, Jesus. Thank you. I worked my tail off for you. No, you didn't do nothing. Praise God, salvation is complete in Christ. Amen? Amen. Right? The point is, it's not a judgment of salvation. It's what did you do after you got saved? or did you waste your time and goof off? One guy puts it this way. I think this is an admission that all churches won't end up being the same any more than all Christians will. There's going to be gold Christians. There's going to be stubble ones. They're all Christians because we're all building our foundation on Jesus Christ. There's going to be gold churches, silver churches, precious stone type churches. There's going to be stubble churches. They'll all be Christians. Some have an eternal value, eternal contributions, and some are just there with some basic variety of materials. But I think it's an important point because it shows us that the Spirit of God knew that there would be varying kind of Christians, varying kind of churches, and we need to evaluate that. People say, well, why are there so many different denominations? Why are there so many different kind of churches? Because some are going to be gold, some are going to be silver, some precious stones, some wood, hay, some stubble. Well, you say, which one are we? Quote, we will find out one day in God's providence. I know which one I want to be. As a person, I know which one I hope we will be as a church at Sunrise. And so why do some of them live such crummy lives and why do some of them are so committed to God? Because some are gold, some are silver, some are precious stones, some are wood, some are hay, some are stubble. Quote, don't be a stubble saint. But the Bible also says that there's a category of people, their biggest problem isn't they're wasting what little time they could do to have something on the other side to give to Jesus instead of just a pile of smoke. They profess to be Christians, but they're not because they're building on a different foundation. They've rejected the one and only foundation, Jesus Christ. And we see that in Acts 4, 10 through 12. It is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is, listen, the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. But these people rejected it. The only cornerstone, the only foundation, the only means of salvation, and instead resorted in this context to their man-made tradition, man-made laws and rituals and man-made rules. What's that sound like? Freemasonry. They have rejected the foundation of Jesus Christ. They have built their own false cornerstone, their own building, their own methodology, and any other false gospel, works-based false gospel does the exact same thing. And one guy says this, you may try to set Jesus aside, but he's the only foundation on which a life can be built, on which a faith can be built, on which a nation can be built, on which a home or anything. Some people don't want Christ. They're disobedient to Christ. They don't respond to Christ. They try to set him aside and get another foundation, quote, but there isn't any other, quote, and one day the truth will be known. It's all coming out, man. It's all coming out. And again, this is what's being promoted in Freemasonry, a false foundation, a different cornerstone, a rejection of Jesus Christ. And it's been going on for a long time in our country. And part of it is because all these different branches have spread throughout every sector of society, including our own country, and has affected every arena. And they've seduced military men, women, youth. And again, they're leading people onto a false foundation straight to hell. Okay, so let's begin to break it down. Now, the first category is what I call pastoral masons. We have seen many, many times Freemasonry is not just in the world. Unfortunately, it is making massive inroads in the church. Now, this particular one that I'm going to hit, they're not the only ones, but they're one of the biggest pools of Freemasonry still to this day, and this is the Southern Baptist denomination. They're not the only one. It's in Baptist churches. It's in Methodist churches. It's in whatever. But I'm going to hit this because I want to show you this. And then again, we're going to recap at the end because this church used to be Southern Baptist until they started doing some things, which believe it or not, as we'll see tonight, I wonder why they were doing it because it's a tenet of Freemasonry. But watch this. In 1991, the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist submitted questions to everyone, all Southern Baptist churches, and they took a poll. And the poll was, how important is it for Southern Baptist churches to have an official statement on Freemasonry? It came back with this. A majority of the pastors, 60%, ministers of education, 56%, directors of missions, 72%, deacons, 63%, church clerks, 74%, felt that such a statement was, quote, not very important at all. I wonder why. An estimated 400,000 to 500,000 Southern Baptists, just men, are Masons and well-known Southern Baptist leaders. Let me just bust through very quickly a handful of them. Robert E. Baylor was one of eight Masons who started Baylor University. Quote, every president of Baylor University has been a Master Mason. He also served as the executive secretary, later as president, and of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. And there's another guy named George W. Truitt, pastor of First Baptist of Church of Dallas, president of the SBC, president of the Baptist World Alliance, trustee of Baylor University, and Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He was a Scottish Rite Freemasonry. And he even said this, and I quote, from my earliest recollection, sitting on my father's knees, who was a Mason, and hearing him and fellow Masons talk, I was imbibed with the impression in my early childhood that the Masonic fraternity is one of the most helpful, mediating, and conserving organizations among men, and I have never wavered from that childhood impression, but it has stood steadfastly with me through the busy and vast hurrying years. In other words, he never gave it up, and that's really what was pulling the strings in his decisions. This is no joke, folks. B.H. Carroll, first president of Southwestern Seminary, was a Freemason. He was also was the one who created the Department of Evangelism and the Home Mission Board. L.R. Scarborough, a Southern Baptist pastor and also professor of evangelism in Southwestern Seminary, and then he became president of the seminary. W.W. Barnes, professor of church history in Southwestern Seminary. He was a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason. W.T. Connor taught theology. You want this guy teaching theology? Southwestern Seminary until his retirement. And it was said, quote, he was perhaps the most famous theologian to be associated with Southwestern Seminary. Mason. William Hamilton was named the Home Mission Board's first head of the Department of Evangelism. He served as the president of the Bible Baptist Bible Institute, BBI, which is now New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and he served also at a time as the president of SBC. Lewis D. Newton was president of the SBC, vice president of the Baptist World Alliance, served 27 years on the SBC Executive Board, etc. He was a Mason as well. He was the Yarrub Shrine Chapel. He was a York Rite Mason. James P. Westbury, again, Mason, Georgia Baptist Convention for 3 years, secretary of the Georgia Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist Pastors Conference, etc. He was a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason. Joseph Samuel Murrow, home missionary. Listen to this guy. He was appointed Southern Baptist home missionary to the Oklahoma Territory. They go, okay, he's there to spread Christianity. And I quote, he was called the founder of Freemasonry in Oklahoma. Nice. This Southern Baptist guy established the first Masonic lodge in Indian Territory. That told you where his priorities were. Crazy, folks. John T. Christian, a Knight Templar. Again, history librarian, the Bible Baptist Institute until his death. J.B. Lawrence was vice president of SBC, executive secretary, treasurer of the Home Mission Board. Richard McClure. Lamore, a president of the Mississippi College of Grady. He was a 33 degree Scottish Rite Mason. David E. Moore, a pastor of a ton of different churches. And then you're going like, well, gee, I wonder why they did what they did that caused us as a church to leave. Remember what that was? What started the whole thing was out of the blue, the Southern Baptists said it was perfectly fine to build a Muslim mosque. Remember that? Now that we know what Freemasonry is all about, it's not one way. You got to honor all religions, including Allah, Islam. And then is it any wonder that these guys went against that New Jersey community saying, we don't want a Muslim mosque, and they went legally against them and said, no, they have a right. Remember that? That was what started our departure from them. But let's take a look at that real quick.
I can't believe this, America. The Southern Baptist Convention has publicly joined a lawsuit to force communities to build temples in the United States of America to a false god, false religion, and evil false prophet that invented that religion, whose mission is to eliminate America and our God, Jehovah. That's right, I said it. I'm sick of this outrageous Southern Baptist Convention that has no business whatsoever in lawsuits forcing communities to build Muslim mosques in America. Evidently, they can't read God's number one commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," which the original Hebrew actually means "in my sight." So the true translation is, "Thou shalt have no other gods in my sight." Southern Baptist pastors are outrageously trained to do this in their seminaries and their universities and swallow that training without questioning it personally, researching our national archives to find the truth that America is God Jehovah's chosen nation, founded as the Christian nation, affirmed 168 times, documented in the Constitutional Convention that, quote, "Christianity is part of common law." That's right. 168 times it is documented that, quote, "Christianity is part of common law in America," which was affirmed numerous times by the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And those Supreme Court rulings have never been declared void. I call on every American citizen to immediately call on every Southern Baptist church member and pastor to cut off every dime of financial support to this evil-doing, anti-Christian Southern Baptist Convention that includes the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Both are named in this lawsuit as supporting the Muslims to force a community to build a mosque right here in the USA.
And they joined on that legal amicus, it's called, legal brief, along with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, National Association of Evangelicals, the Sikh Coalition, South Asian Bar Association of New York, and the Unitarian Universalist Legislative Ministry of New Jersey. You know, like the Freemasons. It's all one religion. You can't just say one way. Nuts. And that's what's going on. The second group, and again, it's not just Southern Baptists. It's virtually all Protestant denominations are flooded with these guys. But I just wanted to give you that big one because that's also a little bit of our heritage that we came out of. How about sports, right? Let's just rip through a bunch of these guys. These guys are everywhere, okay, both in the past and today. Ty Cobb, he was a Freemason. James Naismith, the guy who invented basketball, and you look at sports. Sports, one of the things about sports is, yeah, it's very entertaining, but sports can be very distracting. It's an old tactic in Roman society. How do you keep the populace in control? Their phrase was called bread and circus. Give them bread, give them circus, entertainment, and they don't care who rules them. It's going on today. We just don't call it bread and circus, right? Jack Dempsey. He was a Freemason in Chicago. Joe Frazier, he was a Freemason in New Jersey. Sugar Ray Robinson was a Freemason in New York City. Manny Pacquiao, he became one in March 2021, his record show. This guy, Samuel John Hornish, NASCAR, he's in the Freemasonry. Arnold Palmer, we talked about that before. He's in the Freemasonry. His lodge is in Pennsylvania. Harold Ballard, this is the owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, he's a part of Freemasonry in Toronto, Ontario. Tim Horton, right? You might hear those coffee places, but that's a hockey player, Canadian hockey player. And he's big into Freemasonry, now a multi-million dollar coffee chain. And as we saw before, Shaquille O'Neal, is a Mason. He's not only a Mason, he's super proud to show off his new ring, even on TV. Watch this.
What is that? That's a ring of my profession. You don't know nothing about that.
Okay, can we get a close-up on that? There it is.
What? I don't know nothing about that.
What is the profession?
Yeah, which profession are we talking about?
Just look at it.
Is it a legal profession?
Of course it's legal. It's a ring of my profession.
I'm trying to read it.
Okay. It's too many diamonds. Ah, yeah, that's too bright. That's too bright.
So is Scottie Pippen. And again, I can't get everyone, folks. Let's just go down the list. They're everywhere, these Freemason folks. And so is, believe it or not, John Elway. In fact, they use him to promote Freemasonry on a big scale. Watch this.
Masons Among Us, brought to you by Michigan Masons. This Pro Football Hall of Fame member played his entire 16-year career with the Denver Broncos. At the time of his retirement in 1999, he had won 2 Super Bowls and recorded the most victories by a starting quarterback in NFL history. His name, John Elway, a proud member of the Masonic fraternity.
And you wonder why some of these guys get a leg up and other guys just don't. Wonder who's pulling the strings. I don't know. Maybe it's just a quinkity. Then we have what's called financial Masons. You know, people that got big money, they help steer the planet. Well, if they have an agenda with that big money, then that's also what's going on. So let's break that down. John Jacob Astor, one of the richest men in the world in America, he was a Mason. Walter Percy Chrysler of, yes, the Chrysler Corporation was a Freemasonry. Henry Ford, also Freemasonry, also into Theosophy, as we saw before. Ransom Olds of, yes, Oldsmobile. So the whole automobile industry, these guys are Freemasons, basically. If you know anything about the history of the automobile, lots of up-and-coming automobile people were trying to compete. They just never made it for some reason. Wonder who kept them down. John Gates, known as Bet a Million Gates, founded Texaco Oil Company, was big. Gillette, believe it or not, the guy who founded the Gillette Safety Razor Company, he was a big Freemasonry. And then you wonder why the Gillette folks are producing the woke message. Remember this thing?
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
So you may have a conversation about this ad in your workplace or among your friends today. It's certainly getting a lot of attention online. It's an ad from Gillette, just out, not selling razors, but talking about what is now called toxic masculinity and encouraging men to embrace the principle of the Me Too movement.
I wonder why all of a sudden they're promoting that. Could be part of somebody's agenda, which, by the way, I don't know if you realize this or not, but back in the day, it was called saving the world. Used to be very appreciative of this so-called toxic masculinity, dare I say. Frank Hoover, believe it or not, the Hoover vacuum cleaner guy, big into Freemasonry. This guy, Sebastian Kresge, however you pronounce that, started the Five and Dime stores. He was an estimated worth today $5 billion. His store chain is now called Kmart, is a Freemason. William Lever, who started Lux and Lifebuoy, then got amalgamated into a company called Unilever and became Britain's largest company. This guy, who invented Lipton tea, was also a huge Freemasonry as well. Roland Macy, as in, yes, Macy's department stores, was a Freemason, right? It's like, how do these guys get the breaks? How do their businesses get to take off? And why do they get to make so much money? Gee, I wonder why. Hart Massey, as in the Massey Ferguson Farm Equipment, was a Freemason. James Cash Penny, also known as J.C. Penny, was a big-time Freemasonry. George Pullman, as in the luxury sleeping cars, the Pullman cars, big-time Freemasonry. Mr. Rothschild, James Rothschild, was literally the richest man in the world, estimated today's money, not counting his family members, just him, was alone at least 5 times the amount of fortune accumulated by Bill Gates today. This guy's had 5 times the amount. Okay, he was a big Freemason. Harlan David Colonel Sanders, as we saw before, got to kick that baby when I can, right? Evil Chicken Man was a big there. He also was a mentor and fellow Mason to this guy, Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas is the founder of Wendy's. So now these mega corporations, mega restaurant chains, how do they get these great deals? How do they get to become so big and outdo all their competition? I wonder why. Julius Schaefer, he's the one that founded Boeing Aircraft, was a Freemasonry. Alexander Spanos, he is the... a businessman and real estate developer worth $1.1 billion. He is the owner of the San Diego Chargers. Amasa Stanford, yes, the one who started Stanford University, was a Freemasonry. Thomas J. Watson was a billionaire businessman and chairman of International Business Machines, also known as IBM. Was one of the richest men of his time, but he's a Freemason. And speaking of technology, Steve Wozniak, if you know anything about him, he was the co-founder of Apple. And as we talked before, it makes you wonder why they chose their logo, the Apple. Let's take a look at that.
Whether or not you're using an Apple product, there's no doubt. The Apple logo is one of the most successful and most recognizable logos today, together with the green Marmite of Starbucks and the yellow arches of McDonald's. But in spite of its ubiquity, have you been curious as to what the Apple logo actually means? Some suggest it symbolizes the fruit that Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge, which God said never to eat, but they ate it anyway.
Of all things to pick. Very interesting. Let's get into the next one. The fourth one's Hollywood Masons. Again, they're in every sector of society, and don't kid yourself if they don't aren't using their power, money, influence, technology, everything, media, to bring about a Masonic worldview, because they really are. But let me demonstrate how deep this goes. In Hollywood, Freemasonry, Florence Ziegfeld, as in the, quote, Ziegfeld Follies, Broadway, the whole thing, total Freemasonry. Ringling Brothers, believe it or not, were all seven sons, even their father, were all Freemasonry, and at a time became one of the richest men in the world. Cecil D. DeMille, the big blockbusters in the 20s up through the 50s, big-time Mason out of New York City. Eddie Cantor was a comedian, actor, songwriter, New York City. Harry Houdini, as we saw before in our occult studies, he was into Freemasonry. So was this guy. This was disappointing. William Bud Abbott was a Freemason, made 36 films with Abbott and Costello. But, quote, this is from the Freemasons, Brother Abbott was a member of the Freemasons in Michigan. So was Gene Autry. Gene Autry made 90 films from the 30s to the 50s. He was the, quote, cowboy singer, Back in the Saddle Again, a bunch of other songs. He also popularized the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right, which is the true account of what Christmas is really all about. Become one of the biggest lies about what Christmas is supposed to be about, things of that nature. But he popularized that. And it's estimated that 20 million people heard his voice every day, or that'll be the next guy. But he says there, Gene Autry, again, this was in Oklahoma, and according to his Masonically inscribed gravestone, Brother Autry was a true gentleman. Well, if this is what he believed to get him to the afterlife, unfortunately, Gene Autry is in hell. Mel Blanc, if you've heard of Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote, Elmer Fudd, Barney Rubble, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Sylvester the Cat, it's from this guy, Mel Blanc. He was known as the Man of a Thousand Voices. Again, it was estimated that 20 million people heard his voice every day. Listen, he joined the Order of Demolay as a young man, the youth group. He got sucked into it, and he was a Freemason for 50 years. Freemason was also this guy, Ernest Borgnine, right, was involved. He was a quote, and this is from them, he was an exceptional member of the craft. So was Douglas Fairbanks, actor, screenwriter, director, producer, Mark of Zorro, Robin Hood, The Thief of Baghdad, The Swashbuckling Adventures, all that stuff. He also founded United Artists Motion Picture with Charlie Chaplin and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the Oscars, the whole nine yards come for this. He was a part of the Beverly Lodge in Freemasonry. W.C. Fields also was a huge Freemason out of Philadelphia. Glenn Ford, believe it or not, was also into Freemasonry in California, two different lodges. And so was Clark Gable, Gone with the Wind, things of that nature. He was part, again, also with the Beverly Hills Lodge in California. So was Oliver Hardy of Laurel and Hardy. He was a part of a lodge in Florida, is where it is. And so was Al Jolson, the jazz singer. He was out of New York. So was Harpo of the Marx Brothers. And things of that nature. He was, quote, and this is from them, he was a, quote, true Mason, Freemason. So was Tom Mix, soldier, cowboy, champion rodeo rider, over 400 Western films, and he was instrumental in getting John Wayne his first job. We'll see that in a second. And then this guy, Audie Murphy. You familiar with him? The most decorated American soldier in World War II, famous for as an actor, as you can see there, but also mainly in Westerns. He was part of the North Hollywood Lodge of Freemasonry, a 33-degree holder. Quote, Murphy was always involved and active in Freemasonry. And so was this guy. This was a bombshell. Fess Parker. Davy Crockett, man. The Davy Crockett dude. Daniel Boone. No. Yes, he was a part of Freemasonry as well. And so was the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers. We thought they were Christians. Well, not if he believed this, right? And Roy Rogers was a member of the Hollywood Lodge, number 355, California, and has proudly displayed on his Masonically inscribed gravestone his 33-degree Masonic emblem. Wow. So was Will Rogers, right? Out of Oklahoma, that was his lodge. I wonder why he was mysteriously died in a plane crash. Red Skelton, that was a bombshell. He was joined to the one in Indiana, playing the clown. Who else does clowns? Shriners. Interesting. And so was this guy. It's like ruined my childhood. Alfalfa. Carl Dean Alfalfa Switzer, right? And for our gang shorts, he was, obviously as he grew up, became that. And so again was the Duke, John Wayne, right? He was a part of the Freemason Lodge in Tucson, Arizona, a 33-degree holder. Quote, he came through the Masonic ranks via the Order of DeMolay. So he was groomed as a boy through this group. And so was Telly Savalas. Who loves you, baby? Right? Sucking on that little lollipop there. But he was, quote, and I quote, a gifted actor and a proud Freemason. So was Burt Mayer. You go, Burt Mayer, who's that? As in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, right? So a huge Hollywood production company, along with Francis Zanuck, who co-founded 20th Century Fox, along with Harry Warner, as in Albert, Jack, Sam, and Harry Warner of Warner Brothers. So all the major motion pictures out of Hollywood, the owners are Freemasons. And you wonder why Hollywood has become so anti-Christian, specifically against Jesus Christ. A little graphic, but watch this.
We have humanized God and deified man to the extent that we think nothing of judging, even mocking the Almighty. We flippantly take his name in vain. We manufacture false images at assembly line rates. We place so many gods before him that once again, there's no room at the end. We dare to ridicule the one who deigned to leave eternity, clothe himself in human flesh, and go to a cross in order to pay the penalty for our sins. Take a look around.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
Oh, Jesus!
Sage Christ on a popsicle stick.
My God, I'm so hungry!
Jesus! Harold Christ on a...
Actress Amanda Donahoe.
Blindly worshipping your false god.
Fancy praying to a god who was nailed to a wooden cross.
When asked about her character's venomous hatred of Christ in the Ken Russell film Lair of the White Worm, Donahoe replied, I'm an atheist, so it was actually a joy. Spitting on Christ was a great deal of fun. From cartoons...
What do you know, swipe?
To comedy.
Maybe there's no devil. It's just God when he's drunk.
Yes, God did exist. He died. He was very small. Mystery solved.
Sitcoms.
If there's a heaven, I don't want to go there unless my stool is waiting for me. And I'll tell you what, even God better not be on it.
Media mogul Ted Turner, for example, has openly described his own personal rejection of his childhood faith.
About it, and I began to lose my faith. I did. I lost my faith. And the further, more I lost it, the better I felt, if you want.
And even more boldly, his rejection of the central truth of Christianity.
He had to come down here and suffer and die on the cross, so with his blood, our sins would be washed away. Weird, man, I'm telling you. I mean,
what? Given this perspective, his willingness to use his position to champion the myths that are commonly used to stir up anti-Christian sentiment should come as no surprise.
Most of the problems in the world, and I think religion's response, it's religion that under the guise of religion, they murdered tens of thousands of women as witches only 100 years ago, burned them at the stake. You know, it's like,
note that the Salem witch trials occurred 300 years ago, and the number of women executed, 6.
And also both Jesus and then St. Paul said, you must go out. It is our task as Christians to convert everybody on earth. And if you have to kill them first, kill them.
Renowned author Gore Vidal echoed both Turner's disdain for the Christian faith and his willingness to rewrite history in order to attack it.
In the 4th century, they invented Christianity. It is an anthology of local cults.
In an interview with Vanity Fair, Vidal acknowledged, I've always found Christianity extremely funny, he said. The logic of the Trinity is so gorgeously absurd that it makes me laugh. The occasion for the interview was the release of his new book, described by the magazine as a full frontal assault on the New Testament. Live from Golgotha features Jesus as a coarse, loveless fraud who never went to the cross, and St. Paul as a lusty homosexual. Popular director Paul Verhoeven has also joined this unholy chorus, describing Christianity as a major symptom of schizophrenia in half the world's population, where the pagan practices of American Indians are treated with loving respect, where Eastern religions bask in the warm fuzzies of spiritual awe, and where even the occult is given the benefit of the doubt.
He said the divine force is what the soul is made of.
While the Christian faith of untold millions is portrayed as a potential breeding ground for neo-Nazis, public executions, and a religion-induced madness that can lead to everything from mob violence to a mother's willingness to kill her child for God.
Do you love God?
Yes.
Tell him that. Don't be afraid, baby.
Far too often, this is the gospel according to Hollywood. Ken Kesey, the author of Sometimes a Great Notion and the Academy Award-winning One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, provided perhaps the best summation of the pride and irreverence that characterizes so much of today's art and entertainment. The job of the artist, Kesey told one college class, is to say, F you, God, F you and the Old Testament you wrote in on.
So is it by chance that Hollywood has become so anti-specifically Christian, specifically an attack on Jesus? Yeah. When you look at who's in control of it.
Right.
I don't think that's by chance. Again, the fifth one is music. All industries, the major mega influences are being controlled. Let's take a look at that. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was a Mason in Vienna. So was this guy, Johann Christian Bach, the 11th son of the celebrated composer Johann Sebastian Bach. This guy, his son, known as the London Bach or the English Bach, but he was a Freemason in London. And again, his last name, Bach. I mean, just say his last name three times. Yeah, it even sounds evil. Say it three times real fast. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. One person figured it out. That's right. Let's move on. Franz Ritter von Liszt, another composer. He was a Freemason in Germany. Johann Brahms, again known as one of the three Bs, Johann Sebastian Bach, Ludwig von Beethoven, and this guy. Also, you have Count Basie was a Freemason in Chicago, also a quote, noted Shriner. Irving Berlin, big-time composer, lyricist, considered the greatest songwriter in history, was that. Nat King Cole was a Freemason as well. So was Duke Ellington, a jazz composer. He was one out of Washington, D.C. And also this guy, Burl Ives, legendary singer-songwriter, and many songs that that comes around every Christmas, including this one.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see.
And again, notice that has nothing to do with what Christmas is really supposed to be about. In our shamanism study, we saw that they believe in a magical reindeer that had magical powers. The mistletoe was from Druidism and things of that nature. And all this, people just love. It's very nostalgic, along with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I found out that they're both involved in Freemasonry. But these are some of the biggest stumbling blocks for people to understand what Christmas is really supposed to be all about. Right? So again, that's what was going on. Just real quick, Rick Wakeman from the keyboardist from Yes is reported to be one as well out of London. Pete Townsend of The Who is also reported to be one. And this is from this article. This is their words. They're saying a lot of rock stars are supposed to be Freemasons, including Ozzy Osbourne, Jimi Hendrix, The Beatles, Kiss, Steve Miller. And again, you're going like, wow, so even the music industry is flooded with these folks. I wonder why, like with Hollywood, the music industry is getting extremely blasphemous towards Jesus Christ and Christianity. This one is also very graphic. A lot of it's bleeped, but you need to know this is what's going on. This is what your average person, Christian teenager is listening to, and parents have no clue, man. Watch this.
To music videos.
Soon I discovered that this rock thing was true. Jesus was the devil.
Evidence of LaVey's satanic age is virtually all around us. In fact, here in the world of rock and roll, blasphemy's steady drip becomes a river of curses and dark sayings against the name of God.
Who designed your new t-shirt?
You mean the one with the demon, the beastie guy strangling Jesus? His heart's blowing, blood's coming out of his eyes.
That's the one.
Yeah, I thought of that one.
Fear not, for on this day on MTV, it's the Pee Wee's Playhouse Christmas special.
Wash your ears out. But don't worry, music has no effect on people. And it's your kids' right to listen whatever they want to. Blasphemy. But it's being done on purpose, folks. And it's specifically on Christianity, Jesus Christ, because that does not fit the format of Freemasonry. Real quick, Academia Masons, I'm just ripped through these. You got Voltaire, shocker, who said that within 100 years from his day, there will not be a Bible on earth. Ha, ha, ha. Within just a few years of his death, Bibles were being printed from his printing press. And that's true. Erasmus Darwin, that's the grandfather of Charles Darwin, was a Freemason. Believe it or not, Lewis and Clark, both were Freemasons. Samuel Langhorne Clemens, also known as Mark Twain, was a Freemason. So was Buffalo Bill Cody, a Freemason as well. Oscar Wilde, a playwright, novelist, poet, etc. Sir Alexander Fleming, the inventor of penicillin. This guy, I had to throw it in there. I thought it was interesting. This guy's a Freemason. His name is Joseph Guillotine. He was a physician who invented and advocated a, quote, more humane method of death. Now, which just happens to be the method of execution that is going to be used in the Antichrist kingdom that Freemasonry is promoting, invented by a Freemason. Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. I saw the souls of those who had been what? What's the method of execution? They're beheaded. Because of their testimony about Jesus, because of the word of God, they had not worshipped the beast or its image, had not received its mark on the forehead's hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's not us. That's the people who get saved during the 7-year tribulation. You need to get saved now and avoid the whole thing. Jones Melvin. Why? This big? Because he's the one who came up with Lions Club. Lions Club is an offshoot of Freemasonry, for those of you wondering. Rudyard Kipling wrote The Jungle Book, which is also being, he was a Freemason in Lahore, India. Again, this is all over the world. Charles Lindbergh, and that got squirrely real fast with the kidnapping of his kid and things of that nature. I wonder if he got somebody upset. This guy, Carlo Lorenzi, he was the one who invented Pinocchio, which also is another story that Freemasonry, Walt Disney, picked up and promoted as well. This guy, Archbishop Jeffrey Fisher, he was an active Freemason, but he's the one who organized the work of the, quote, president of Council of Churches after World War II. Okay? Basically, the ecumenical movement is what this guy's about, and they're still in existence today.
My name is Stephen Brown. I'm based in Geneva, where the World Council of Churches has its headquarters, and I'm editor of the WCC's journal, The Ecumenical Review. And it's my task to introduce the assemblies of the World Council of Churches.
Al quale il Consiglio Ecumenico delle Chiese ha tanto contribuito, è sorto per grazia dello Spirito Santo.
That's not the Spirit of God. What's going on there? But notice the Pope's involved in it, who's been also pushing one more religion. But here's a Freemasonry who starts the World Council of Churches, which is sucking the Protestant movement into this global religion, which is a pinning of Freemasonry. It's not by chance, folks. It's a step-by-step plan. This was also launched after World War II. Remember, according to Pike's vision, after the Third World War, they're going to launch their Luciferian order. And so this was after the Second World War. Things of that nature, not by chance. Speaking of religion, so is this guy, Jesse Jackson, supposed to be a Baptist minister. He's a Freemason. So is David Sawyer of Salvation Army. We saw before, so is Joseph Smith. He was a Freemason at a Nauvoo Lodge in Illinois. So is Swami Vivekananda, a Freemason out of Calcutta, India. Remember, it's whatever God you want to make it. Samuel Wesley, he's the nephew of John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, is one. This guy, Vannevar Bush, he's the, quote, godfather of the internet. No, it was not Al Gore. Okay, things of that nature. Involvement with MIT. Also, James Edwin Webb, who oversaw NASA during the Apollo moon landing missions. He was a Freemason. So was Buzz Aldrin, a Freemason out of New Jersey. So was John Glenn out of Ohio. So was Edgar Dean Mitchell out of New Mexico, things of that nature. And so was, as we saw before, Cecil John Rhodes, as in the Rhodes Society, another secret society. And another secret society came out of there with Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Order of the Illuminati, and things of that nature. So they're all over the place. Now, real quick, let me give you another one. Judicial missions, and I'm talking about our own Supreme Court. And I quote, "From you wonder why things are messed up. How in the world could a country founded on Christ and Christianity have a Supreme Court that says, get Bibles out of school and prayer out of school? I wonder who was making those decisions." And I quote, "From 1789 to the present, there have been 108 justices of the United States Supreme Court. Depending on which source, some say 34, 36, 38, or 40 of them have been Freemasons. This means about one-third of Supreme Court justices were Masons." This might be an interesting statistics if they were Masons in name only. However, it appears that several of them were masters of their lodges and some of them grandmasters of their grand lodges. Undoubtedly, then, the philosophy and spirit of Freemasonry has had some effect on them, as well as other Masons on the Supreme Court. This, in turn, may mean that, to some extent, the decisions of the Supreme Court, which have had so much impact on the lives of all Americans, reflect some of the teachings of Freemasonry. In other words, have you noticed how even the Supreme Court is making anti-Christian, anti-American rulings? I wonder why. Including now, the latest thing that's out there in the news is, if you are a Christian who believes that we need to turn back to Christ as a country because we were founded on Christian principles, you are a Christian nationalist terrorist. That's the new term. Watch this.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
You might think phrases like endowed by our Creator and unalienable rights and secure the blessings of liberty in America's founding documents might take the guesswork out of the question of the source of our rights. You might think when Miss Percibilla was getting her master's degree in international relations at Michigan State University's James Madison College, the philosophical underpinnings of differing political systems and the father of the Constitution, for whom the residential college is named, are topics that would have arisen. You might think that if you didn't appreciate that, like America's press corps, its colleges are largely sentinels of the state. Miss Percibilla, a product of both, is 50 years old. The subservience to the state is not a new phenomenon. It is noteworthy that Miss Percibilla gives her Marxist offering on the repository of individual rights for the purpose of distinguishing Christianity from the alleged Christian nationalism of Trump supporters, with the clear insinuation that the latter is a dangerous interloper. The most effective way to destroy something is to redefine it out of existence, marriage, biological sex, and now Christianity and America's origin story.
But you can't have that if you need to turn America into a Freemason society along with the rest of the world. So that's the latest attack. But again, notice what it is. What'd she say? Christian nationalists, which is what? People who believe that we need to go back to our roots as a country, Christianity, to bring back order, okay, and the American way of life as designed by the Founding Fathers. It's not just you're wrong, you're a threat, and you're not a Christian. That's what they're saying. This is in the news right now. And let me finish it out. Many of the Supreme Court justices who were Freemasons also were members of the local Royal Ark chapters, cryptic and royal and select master councils, Knights Templar commanderies, Scottish Rite bodies, shrines, and the grottos. It is reasonable to assume that those who became masters or grandmasters and who joined other Masonic bodies were serious about Freemasonry, and that the lessons of Freemasonry has had some impact on their lives, their thinking, and their work. There are some who would read decisions of the United States Supreme Court and see Masonic influence in them. And I would agree. So, Lord willing, we're going to finish up next week with a couple more. We're going to look at the military Masons. Because, again, they believe we need three world wars. And after that third world war is going to come the rise of what they think is a good thing, the one world leader that the Bible calls the Antichrist. Then we're going to see political Masons. We're going to hit the presidents of our own country who were mega Masons. And dare I say, who were the presidents during World War I and World War II and made sure we got involved in it? Because that's part of the plan. We'll take a look at that. And then I want to end on this, the American roots and Freemasonry. And I'll just spill the beans real quick. I believe there's a trick that's being played on us and our country and what they're doing, and I think a lot of it's coming from the Masons, is what they'll do is they'll say, America, as we saw in the video, you look at the layout of Washington, D.C. It clearly is a pentagram. And that's true. You can't get around it. You look at the Egyptian obelisk of George Washington, the Washington Monument. That's Egyptian. That's a cult. That's Freemasonry. I don't discount that. You look at some of the symbols around Washington, D.C. It's Masonic. I don't discount that. But what they do is they say, see, because there's some here and some here and some founding fathers, that means, listen, America was never a Christian nation. We've been lied to. It was Masonic through and through, and that's the lie. That's what I want to expose. Were there some? Absolutely. Why is it in the construction? Because the Masons were the basically construction workers of the day. You want to build a city? That's who you're going to use, and they're going to weave their little thing into it, right? But that doesn't mean that the bulk of America, the bulk of the founding fathers, were Christians. They were hardcore Christians. And they clearly, we will see, and I will demonstrate, built our country on Jesus Christ. That's why they're now attacking us of those saying the solutions is not a political savior. It certainly ain't Freemasonry. It's Jesus Christ. And now they're attacking us saying, well, you're not even a Christian and you're a threat. But what they do is they want to convince people that we were never a Christian nation. And that's a lie. Because if we realize that, then we realize the answer to turn things around. And they don't want that. So we're going to end on that. But as we close tonight, what do we do? As you can see, these guys are everywhere, every sector of society, young and old, men and women, children, every aspect of society. Well, in short, we need to speak up, stop being a bunch of chickens, and tell people bluntly, get out of this satanic organization. Like this pastor. I love this. Watch this.
Anyone that got in mind to be right,
yeah. You
got to surrender.
Oh, yes.
You got to come out the Masonic Hall.
Come out. Come out. Come out.
Prestige ain't worth trash.
No.
To be a Mason, you got to roll up one pants leg,
mm-hmm.
Tear the shirt over your heart,
mm-hmm.
And they bring you in a room with a bunch of fools.
Yeah.
They tell you got to bring food to feed a goat, and there ain't no goat to feed.
Yeah.
Blind for you. Then a bunch of men making a bunch of noise and hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
First they put marbles out.
Mm.
White marbles and a black marble.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a black marble, you're blackballed.
Right.
Can't be one. Get white marbles, you can be one. You get at a certain level of masonry, you get rid of the Bible.
My Lord.
And pick up the Quran.
My Lord.
You got to take a vow of secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
That you never expose the craft.
Mm.
And if you expose the craft, you agree to have your tongue cut out or snatched out and your heart cut out.
My Lord.
I expose all the craft I want.
Expose the craft.
I dare you to lay a hand on me.
That's right.
I dare you to do it, and I want you to do it.
That's right.
I'm a very easy man to find.
Amen.
So all these lodges and all that stuff won't prevail.
No.
You throw on black suits, white shirt, black tie, and feel important. But then you die.
That's
and a
it.
Bunch of men come in marching.
That's right.
Just marching. Looking like a bunch of stooges.
What is that? That's right.
Eh?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
March forward and slide back. Everybody's doing the curly.
That's right.
And then they ring a little bell over you.
Yeah.
Say a few words.
They say some words.
But you died without God.
Mm.
You get what I'm telling you?
Go ahead.
There is a way.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man.
Brothers and sisters, get out the seem right way.
Seem right.
Know what you're doing.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
That's right.
One of the biggest lies is the belief, I'm going to heaven anyhow. You lost your mind.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for our study tonight. And thank you for just again the assurance that if we have built our eternal destiny on the one and only foundation, Jesus Christ, we're going to heaven. Thank you for that reassurance. But God, also thank you for being so blunt, because this is eternity on the line. Anybody who has rejected the one and only foundation, Jesus Christ, like Freemasonry or any other false works-based false gospel, they will go to hell. So we need to love them enough to tell them the truth. Stop being a bunch of chickens and get busy sharing your truth, because it's the truth that will set them free. So please bless our study. Cause us to be the greatest evangelists this generation has ever seen to whoever we would ever come across in these last days. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.